guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime. We got KK and Lo live together in the studio for this episode.
Hey, yo, hey.
What's going on? We're having a fun night.
We had a date night tonight.
Yes, we did. Oh my gosh, we wined and freaking dined. Wine, but like... The dining was top-notch at the place that Lo took me to.
It is, if you're from Oxford, then you probably know the place, and if you're not, well then, you'll learn about it. It's Victoria's, and it is so cozy, it is quaint, it is just very mellow and chill, and we had loaded baked potato soup, and we split Hudson's Marie salad. Mwah. Chef's kiss, my favorite salad, love it.
It was so good.
We got chocolate mousse crepes with fresh berries and drizzled chocolate and whipped cream. And we got to catch up and talk, and there was no husbands, there was no kids. It was just strictly conversation between me, Crystal, and our ADHDs.
It was lovely. And if you couldn't tell, we really... We went all out with the food that we had. It was all, like, so amazing. Like, every single portion of it was so good. We were like, you know, done. And then she asked if we wanted dessert. And I'm like, yeah, we can do it. And she gave us the options. All the options were good. But we saw somebody else get the crepes. And we're like, that's the move.
That is it. And then I came home and I took off my nice... I dressed up for Kay, okay?
She did.
I dressed up. So I took off the nice dressy pants, which, funny, we showed up wearing matching pants.
Yeah, we were wearing matching pants. Like, how weird.
The same ones. Literally. Same brand and everything.
We were in sync.
And then I was like, okay, like, now we're back at the house, so I'm putting my comfy clothes on and keeping it real while we record.
I love it. And still cute comfy clothes as well, so. So it was great. And now we're here to talk to you people, our creeps.
Creepers.
Yep.
Creepiest creepers.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you listened, like, I don't know how many weeks ago now, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when Lo was talking about the high school track baton thing and we were, like, saying how, like, the video was kind of hard to tell. There's another video and, yeah, she for sure did it on purpose.
That was last week.
It was last week?
Yeah, you're thinking 2 weeks because we did two releases. We did Bonus of Leprechaun.
Okay.
So it was 2 weeks. Or it was,
last week, gotcha.
There's a lot going on last week, but...
Yeah, we had an extra bonus release, if you guys didn't catch that, of the Leprechaun episode, for St. Patrick's Day, so... But yeah, the baton thing, she for sure hit her, like, on purpose. So I retract any statements of me being unsure because... She's guilty.
Yes, I was trying to actually upload the video that you sent me to our Facebook, but for some reason I couldn't get it to, I don't know if it's because you texted it to me or how. So if I can't figure it out, then maybe since it's on Kay's phone.
Well, it was on TikTok, so I don't know that you can share. I might be wrong because I don't do this ever, so I don't know. But I don't know if you can share TikToks on Facebook because okay. They're like... You know, competitor platforms.
Well, whatever. I guess you might have to just look it up on your own TikTok. I was going to show it just because the video that I showed Kay, it was kind of coming around the corner and it was a little grainy. Hers was super clear. Like, you could see that there was a space between them. And she just put her arm back and...
Whacked her. Yeah, it was definitely purposeful. So I just think it's silly that she's trying to claim that it was on accident because it's just like... So obvious. So beyond obvious. But yeah, that was just a little update. Also, the girl is doing well. I was told... I was told by somebody, I won't call you out, that she died and I was so sad. And then me and Laura were looking it up and it's like, she did not die. She is alive and well, so...
And we're not going to say his name, but he may or may not live with her.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't get too specific, but yeah.
And if he's anything like my man, He ain't even listening to the show anymore.
Yeah, probably not, so call him out anyway.
They don't care. They're like, we hear you talk all damn day. I don't need to hear you talk when I'm not
Yeah, true. Sad, but true.
I have to talk to you when I'm home. I don't need to hear you when you're not home.
Right. It gives us a good platform to talk about them then, because they won't hear.
Yeah, this is a platform. Feel free to write in and talk shit about your man.
Right, exactly. Tell us your stories. Kind of rolls well into, like, what the episode today is about, actually.
Which is funny. Ding, ding, ding.
I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to touch on before we jumped in.
I just made a crack that the TikToks of waiting for Yolanda to get released are getting real now. People are just waiting for March 30th to see if she gets out of prison. I'm telling you, man, she's in a Corpus Christi prison. She may not want to come out. She might just, she's safer there, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
If I was her, which I would never be her, but if I was, I would not want to leave because I just, yeah, people are going to, people have it out for her.
They got their flip-flops ready. All those Mexican mamas, they got the flip.
Yeah. Yeah. She better watch out because it's not sounding good for her as far as if she, you know, makes her debut out into the public. So.
I don't think there is any other celebrity stuff that's really new that caught my attention this week. So we can do the real quick of what's low reading.
Oh yeah, update us.
So I am working on one called The Villa, which two besties go to an Italian in Italy, a little villa. Hence the title.
Nice.
And I believe there's like a murder, mystery, thriller thing gonna happen. I'll let you know. I just started it. I'm only like 60 pages in. And I'm also listening because I realized I got a lot of to-be-read books. And I am never going to catch up if I just try to read them all. So I am listening on Audible right now to Son of a Witch, which is almost like a sequel or part of the Wicked series.
Oh.
So there's Wicked. It's the same author. I don't think it's really... I guess maybe, because it talks about the same characters. And this is the son and it's talking about how the Wicked Witch is dead. And Dorothy is in it for a little bit. And she's like, it was an accident, I swear. But they're still trying to go back to the Emerald City for other things. I don't know, I only an hour and a half in, I just started that one too. So that is where I'm at on what is low reading.
Ooh, love it. That one sounds very interesting. So I'm excited to hear what the kind of how it wraps up. And you know, I just get the summaries of what's low reading because Kay doesn't read. So I like the summaries of things.
I'm going to get her Hop on Pop for her birthday.
What is that? Hop on Pop.
And a Dr. Seuss book.
Oh.
There's like three words on every page.
That's so, well, that's my speed, so perfect. That's my kind of book.
I think it was called Hop on Pop or Pop on Hop.
It sounds like a Dr. Seuss
title. I think it was Hop on Pop. I don't know. Charlotte had the cardboard one and when she was a baby and then she ate half of it, I think, chewing on and stuff. So then we got a, like the squishier, I don't know, one. I think then she had a paper one. And I read it to her. It was like one of the go-tos that I'd read her. She'd always bring me that one.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's not definitely sounds like a Dr. Seuss classic title. But yeah, definitely more my speed. Where just like a quick little rhymey children's book. That's where my mental capacity's at. But yeah.
That's... Yes, Hop on Pop. I had to fact check it because okay. I was questioning myself now. But...
Hop on Pop. All right, that's Kay's next read. If anyone cares.
So I was going back and listening to the Leprechaun, and so we need a little update from KK. Did she or did she not ever watch Haters Back Off?
Oh, the Miranda Sings thing? Yes.
You didn't watch it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Because I was listening to it and you're like, oh, I'm for sure going to watch it and blah, 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 and this and then I'm laughing. I was like, I wonder if she ever watched that.
But now that girl, her real name is Colleen Ballinger. That's her real name. She's been, like, canceled, like, I think over the last 6 months or so. Because she was, like, sending minors, like, underwear and, like weird shit. So, like, she's been canceled.
Okay. Did she know there were minors?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I don't know all the details, so... Okay. This is all alleged, but...
Might have to fact check that for next one. Mm-hmm. I did hear that Lizzo's coming back on the scene, though, even after her allegations and stuff. I don't know what happened, but she got a new album coming out, so... Yep. And I think they said she lost, like, a shit ton of weight.
Yeah, she looks like she's, you know, lost some weight. I don't know. I haven't really seen her, but I have heard people talk about that, so. She's back, people. She's back.
She's 100% that bitch.
Yeah.
She took a DNA test. She told us.
Yeah, she found out.
All right, Kay, so what you got for us today?
Well, today, so I wasn't even, like, this was last weekend at some point. I wasn't, like, researching for a story or anything in this moment, but I started watching the show Who the Bleep Did I Marry? And I was like, this is kind of interesting. And I pulled a couple of stories to talk about that today because I watched quite a few episodes and I'm like, that's like some of these stories, I highly recommend you guys go and watch the show. Just like, it's like a good show too, to like put on while you're like doing other stuff too. You know what I mean?
I think I watched the first season like way back.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember all of them, but I feel like it was part of like, it was on Oxygen Channel or something for a minute, and...
Yeah, it's all over, like, a few different apps, too. I can't remember which one I watched it on. It might have been Hulu. But, yeah, I had never watched the show before. It just sounded interesting, and I didn't know what to put on. And I'm like, this is so weird. Like, people will... They just married these people and then all these crazy secrets and things happened, came out, and it was just like, that's terrifying, first of all. But yeah, super interesting, so I just thought it'd be like, it's like sad, but it's like, you know, more lighthearted, fun kind of things, I guess.
Well, bring it on home.
So we're going to talk about...
Or get it started, I guess.
Yeah, bring it on home.
You got to get it started before you bring it on home.
I'll get it started and then I'll bring us home.
All right.
So I'm just going to talk about two stories for today. So the first one, former child bride of Jerry Lee Lewis kind of talks about her turbulent marriage when she was on the show.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Right?
See what I did there, Lisa?
So clever. So, Myra Williams, she was just 13 years old and in the 8th grade in the year 1957 when she married her 22-year-old second cousin once removed. She was like... into him, I guess, obviously, but she was like a younger child, like 13 years old to marry a 22-year-old. First of all, 13 years old to marry somebody is just like wild, but then like a 22-year-old. But she was really into him. He was goofy, he was funny, I guess he was good looking, blonde hair, played the piano, you know, just small name of Jerry Lee Lewis. Who obviously would go on to do some important things. Now, the marriage just left her mom in tears, and her dad was very angry, like, threatening to kill him. Obviously, probably because she was so young. But I don't really know legally how that happens. Like, if the mom's crying and the dad's, like, so angry, like, how does she marry him, like, when she's 13? I don't know how the laws were in the 50s, so maybe it was a little different then, but...
Sounds like an R. Kelly and Aaliyah situation.
Mm-hmm. For real.
They, with the parents' consent, they can probably marry at any age. If not, then they probably just faked her birth date.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, once it became public, it really caused, like, an uproar. So during a tour of England, it really sent his career just downward spiral as he was, like, really starting to, like, climb up the music charts. You know, with his casual hits of Whole Lotta Shakin' and, as Lo mentioned, Great Balls of Fire. So he was, like, you know, getting to, like, the peak of his career, and then this news comes out that he's married to, like, such a young child, and everyone's like, WTF.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, there's no way I would consent for my daughter at 13 to marry a 22-year-old. Like,
yeah.
She's a baby still, and that is, like, a full-blown man.
Mm-hmm. It's just so wild. So, from almost the first moments that they, you know, made it official and got married, Myra realized that there was never going to be anything traditional or normal about their marriage. Which, I mean, like, obviously, it started off very non-traditional, and also, like, he's, like, this big rock star, basically. So, definitely probably not the classic, you know, tradition of marriage that you would think of. You know, she realized he would never be the husband who went to work at 9 and came home for dinner at 5 to, like, hang out with the family. He really stayed out all hours of the night. He drank a lot of alcohol. He took pills. You know, he played a lot of late night shows, of course, as well, all across the United States, too. Really, mostly in an effort to, like, rebuild his career and, like, re-amp up, like, his fame and get it going again. But, yeah, it just was not really what she imagined when she thought she was getting this fairy tale marriage with him.
Well, yeah, she's watching Leave It to Beaver and has to be in bed by 9 because she has, you know, 7th grade science first thing in the morning.
Right? Like, I feel like you're in very two different places of your life, so I don't know. Probably not working out. Which it didn't. They stayed married until 1970. But, you know, the pills, the drinking, the womanizing, it all just obviously... it all just became too much for her to take, which it would be for most people, so... She said, in the show, she was like, I never expected it to be normal. It was never going to be normal. There's nothing normal about Jerry Lee. The rules just never applied to him. He was privileged his whole life. Nobody ever told him no. He always felt like he could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and how he wanted. She said, there were some good years. I loved him and I took care of him. But when he was drinking and on pills, he was very nasty. Just overall a nasty human being. She said, looking back, he was a sorry ass husband.
Oh my gosh.
So Williams, who is now 79, is happily remarried and living outside Atlanta after a successful career in real estate. And yeah, she kind of goes over her, like, scandalous marriage and just... everything that went along with it. She said that while she would do it all over again and wouldn't change a thing, she admits that there were definitely times where she wondered that very question. She said, there are other words I would use that say the same thing, but there were times I wondered what I got myself into. So Jerry Lee came to live with her family in Memphis while he was recording songs at Sun Records. And his father, J.W. Brown, was her father was Jerry's cousin and played electric bass in the band. Isn't that wild? So she said that she was, like, mesmerized with him the first time he sat down and played the piano. You know, she's a 13-year-old girl. Like, she doesn't, her brain's not developed. She doesn't understand. Like, you know, you have a crush on, like, this cute older musician. It's like when you're looking up to, like,
Oh, I mean, I get it. I 100% at 13 of married Luke Perry in a heartbeat.
Right.
My parents would not have let me have married Luke Perry, but I mean...
And it's just weird that he was her dad's cousin. Like...
Yeah.
Incesty, you know?
A little bit.
She says he was goofy and fun, but I think I idolized him because of his talent. His talent was amazing. I think I had stars in my eyes, but I was the mature one at 13. I was the adult in the relationship, which that's is so sad. That's what I was just going to say. Like, that's so sad to be 13 and you're the adult. You know, she said that the wedding was a surprise. Like, he came home from Sun Studio after a day of recording and told her to come out to the car with him. He said that he had something to show her. She says, I walked out to the car with him and I sat down in the front seat. He opens the glove box and hands me something that says marriage license. I looked at him and I said, I thought you had to stand there and say something to be married. He said, no, no, this is just the license. We're going to be married. Controlling and scary, first of all.
How romantic.
I know, like, what? She says that Jerry Lee had gone with a friend named Glenda Burgess down to the courthouse. So this is what she kind of did that answered, you know, like, my initial question of, like, when she's talking about getting married to him. I'm like, how are her parents allowing this when they're, like, so upset?
And why did Glenda tell him, like, yes, it's a good idea.
She was probably drinking with him,
too. It's very okay that you're 22 and is attractive emotionally and sexually to a 13-year-old.
Yeah, not a good friend, Jerry.
Like, maybe he have a girlfriend that, I don't know, had her first period.
Literally, yep, seriously. But yeah, Miss Glenda, she went down to the courthouse and posed as Myra and signed the marriage license. So
okay.
Mm-hmm. And he later drove Myra across the state line down to Hernando, where they were married.
Apparently, they don't check IDs around there.
I know. They didn't take it too serious back then. She said, my daddy will kill me to him. And he said, no, he won't. Your daddy loves me. We got a band. I was like, I don't believe this. So, yeah, I had a surprise wedding. Like, that to me sounds like a forced upon wedding.
And I don't care if you're my bestie or my cousin, apparently, or anybody. Like, you, as a grown man, come after my 13-year-old. Band member now, we're gonna have a problem.
Yeah, like, it's just the, I don't even know. It's just so crazy that it's like, it's the big ick, yeah.
Very icky.
So, the two of them kept it a secret for a couple of days until her mother's maid found the marriage license in her bedroom. Could you imagine the maid ratting you out? She was probably just so appalled that she's like, I have to tell someone. So good for the maid, but also, like, ooh, she really inserted herself into that tea. You know, Myra says, I wasn't planning on ever breaking the news that we were married to my mother and daddy, but after a few days, I couldn't take it anymore. I left my marriage license laying around my bedroom. She came over to my mother and said, Miss Brown, I think I know what's going on. And she handed my mother the marriage license.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, Myra and Jerry was at Sun Studio when her father got home and her mother told him about the situation, how they got married. And her dad went in and got his .22 pistol from the drawer, stuck it down his pants and said, I'm gonna kill him. And legit. Got back in his car and headed off to find Jerry.
I mean, kind of don't blame the guy.
No, not at all. Like, very valid. I mean, you know, I wouldn't, you know, suggest he actually murders him. But I get the anger.
We validate the feelings.
Yes, exactly. So she said, my mother picked up the phone and called Sam Phillips and told him what happened and to get Jerry out of there. Sam put him on the next plane leaving out of town. I'm not sure Jerry ever knew where he was going, so he was gone for a while, and when he came back home, the next time he and Daddy saw each other was on stage. and he sure wanted to kill him, but they just accepted that we were married and let it go. They never yelled at me. They just cried, and that hurt worse than yelling. That is worse. Like, I feel like to make your parents cry is worse than them yelling at you.
Yeah, I think a lot of kids will say, you know, if you use the words like I'm disappointed or I'm not, you know, I'm not proud to be your mom right now, sometimes it hits different than, you know, just calling your kids an idiot and yelling at them.
Right. Yeah, definitely, I feel like pulls a different string in your heart than, like, because you could just roll your eyes if they're just yelling at you, but when you, like, feel like you actually hurt them and disappoint them, then that's when it's like, ooh, this feels icky. Now, Myra says, my daddy said to Jerry that if he ever did anything to hurt me, he would have to answer to him. So, I mean, they eventually kind of were okay with it, but not really, you know what I mean? I feel like they just kind of accepted it, I guess, and, like, tried to handle it the best that they could, but I don't really know. That would be very tough. I would be like, I'm taking you to court.
Oh my God.
I could not do that. But her and Jerry moved into their own house. She packed everything she could carry into her dollhouse because she did not have a suitcase. She's packing her dollhouse for her husband to move in with her 22-year-old husband. And, you know, she said she had no idea how to be a wife, which, like, she shouldn't. She was like, I didn't have a clue on how to cook. Our neighbor, her name was Marie Cartwright, she helped me learn how to cook. She said, I didn't know how to do anything. I wonder what people thought, like, her neighbors and stuff. Like, I would be like, this poor child.
Yeah.
She went from being a 13-year-old girl overnight to driving expensive Cadillacs and, you know, just having wads of cash from Jerry's show at the bank just, like, in her pockets. Jerry had a powerful uncle in Louisiana named Uncle Lee, Williams said. He got me a driver's license. Of course, they lied about her age and said she was 15, because that's how old you had to be at the time in Louisiana. So she ended up with a fake driver's license.
Can she even see all of them?
I know, for real. I guess Cadillacs are kind of lower, right?
Oh my God.
And from the beginning, Myra said that she had to be the adult in the marriage while Jerry remained a spoiled brat who expected her to serve him 3 meals a day and cater to his every wish. She's like, that's just the way he was raised. After the death of his brother, his mother and dad put all their love into him. He could do no wrong. He got treated special and had no restraints. Jerry was privileged and raised where he was the chosen one that was going to lift the family out of poverty. Nothing changed Jerry. The rules were not for him. And he was on his way to dethroning Elvis Presley as the king of rock and roll when the scandal over their marriage just really ruined that for him, really. The public outrage and backlash was really intense at that time. You know, Lewis was called a cradle robber, a baby snatcher, all that shows just, like, resulting in the tour overall being canceled because people were so upset, which, like, rightfully so. And the scandal followed him back home, where radio stations stopped playing his records and concert dates just really dried up over time. You know, overnight he went from making $15,000 a night to a couple $100s playing shows wherever he could find them.
I'm just, like, looking at these pictures, and I'm like, it looks like his daughter.
Literally, right? Like, it looks like that would be his daughter. Because he looks old for 22, I feel.
Yeah. Well, I feel like back then, just the whole, the way they carried themselves, and then he was also a celebrity figure, but...
Right.
I'm just like, oh dear God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame people for wanting to, like, cancel his shows and everything like that, because that's just... Yeah, if you guys don't know, like, go look up the pictures, like, Lowe's pulled them up, and, yeah, it's just wild to see you know, them side by side. Now, Myra said that Jerry never blamed her for his fall from the top of the charts, which is good. You know, he shouldn't blame her, but, like, it's good to hear that he did not. She said that he would tell me I would do it all over again. And Jerry Lee would return to England in 1961, back kind of getting his, like, good reputation back, but it would take 10 years before he hit it big again as a country music star, before America actually finally started to forgive him. So he made it a little bit bigger in England before he kind of took off again in America. She said, I think we had a bunch of hypocrites running around back then. The people in London, they made us decision based on his talent, and the people in America made a decision based on his actions as a man, not his talent. Which, like, I get, but also, like, sometimes it's like you don't want to support someone who does something that's wrong, even if they're talented, you know what I mean? Like, it's the whole Chris Brown of it thing, you know? Like, should people really be, like, at the, especially at that time, you know, going to his concerts and buying his music right after that situation with Rihanna happened. It's like, no, people, like, don't want to support someone like that.
Absolutely. It kind of reminds me, too, of the Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super he similar.
Raised his daughter and then married her.
So icky. I can't.
I just listened to Chelsea Handler was back on Dax again.
Ooh, nice.
And she was talking about how her and what's her name? Katie Couric or Katie?
Oh, Kirk. Yeah.
They went to dinner, and she saw Woody Allen and his wife walk in, and she's like, "Oh my God!" She's like, she's got to tell herself, like, "Be nice, be careful, watch what you say," just because she's such a very boisterous mm-hmm. person. So she's like, "Okay, you know, she's trying," and all of a sudden she looks at Woody. She's like, "So, where'd you guys meet?"
Oh my gosh, I love her. I love her and her just bluntness. That's so funny.
Oh, my God.
I felt like he laughed, but it's like, that situation is so icky. It makes me feel gross.
Yeah.
Ugh. So gross.
Remember when you changed your wife's diapers?
Literally, like, that is the actual true definition of grooming.
I mean, that one is worse than this one.
Yeah, for sure.
At least he didn't raise her. He groomed her a little bit, but didn't raise her.
Yeah, exactly. That one is, like, the extreme situation. So Myra said that it was the pills more than, like, the womanizing that really finally ended their marriage. You know, she said the sweet, fun-loving side of his personality would really go away when he started drinking and taking pills, and it just turned him into a monster. And he ultimately was physically and emotionally abusing her during that time when he was taking a lot of pills and drinking. And she said his fans were the ones giving him the pills. She's like, that just floored me. I was outraged. They were giving him stuff that was making him a monster. He would call me in the middle of the night screaming at me like a maniac for something I had not done. And then the next morning he would wake up and he would be out of it from the pills. Between the drugs and the woman, there was no way I could live with that. She said that she never stopped caring about Jerry and always wanted what was best for him, but there was just never going to be any changing him in the future. She says, we had some marvelous times and we had some horrible times. Every marriage has that. If you think it's going to be all rainbows and butterflies, you better wake up. I just happened to be married to Jerry Lee Lewis, and there was never going to be anything normal about that. Now, Jerry Lee made a comeback in the late 60s and 70s with, you know, a few different hits. What's Made Milwaukee Famous, 39 and Holding, and Middle Age Crazy, which those all topped the country music charts. He did end up dying in October of 2022 at the age of 87. And he was the last man standing from the early years of rock and roll. And again, like I mentioned earlier, Myra did get married again. She found happiness with a man named Richard Williams, who she married in 1984, and they owned a real estate company in Atlanta. She wrote a second book about her marriage to Lewis in 2016 called The Spark That Survived, which she said is the real story of how she survived her marriage to Jerry Lee. And despite how things turned out in their marriage, Williams said she wouldn't change a thing. Jerry Lee was a great talent, and they had a good marriage for a little while. She says, "I worshipped the ground he walked on, and I have never known a bigger talent than Jerry. We truly loved each other, and there was a lot of hurt there, but I look back on it, and if I had to be a 13-year-old girl again in the 8th grade and have that decision to make again, I would not change it." Which is, like, kind of crazy, but... And she says, "I had a beautiful son. I have a wonderful daughter. We have a good life together. Some of the time, not all of the time, but some of the time." It's just crazy to me that, like, you have a daughter who at some point was 13 years old, and you didn't look at her and thought, wow, I would not want you to marry a 22-year-old right now.
I know.
But she says she doesn't regret it, so I don't know.
Okay, my daughter is 16. If she brought home a 22-year-old, I'd be like, Pat, get the shotgun.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, even, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Well, she definitely has a story from it, for sure. I mean, who can say that they married a rock star at 13 years old? So, I mean, I'm glad that she ended up finding happiness and had kids and, like, a normal life after all of that craziness. But, yeah, definitely a wild story to be able to tell people about your life.
Yeah, I want to say that it's, like, different times, but even back then it's wild, so...
Yeah, like, it is different times, but, like, you still... I feel like still in the 50s, 13-year-olds were not marrying people. Like, maybe at, like, 18, 17 or 18,
they were getting overseas.
Married. Right, yeah. I don't know. It's just nuts. So, yeah, that was the first story for the Who the Bleep Did I Marry saga. We can now go on to the second story about Glenn Ray Seymour.
Feed me, Seymour.
So, in this one, kind of talks about how Glenn Seymour allegedly posed as a fraudulent federal agent until his lies were ended up being exposed in July of 2009. This took place in Alla, Louisiana, and his former wife, Catherine Blankenship, talks about how she really struggled to understand why he would lie about his past as, like, the authorities were all preparing for his trial. So yeah, we'll kind of dive into that. So a little background on Catherine Blankenship. She went to Bunky High School in Bunky in Avoyelles Parish, Louisiana. I'm not saying
that was
right.
A mouthful.
Yeah, I know, like... She went to high school in Louisiana, basically. We don't need the extra details. She was planning a reunion in 2007 and sent invitations to all of her classmates. She received a surprising email from a former student named Glenn Ray Seymour. And Catherine kind of looks back on it and, you know, she said it was unforeseen because he was the last person that she expected to hear from. She said that him in high school was very quiet. He was a shy person, mostly kept to himself. She said we knew each other, but we weren't considered friends. And in the episode, at that point, Catherine had not heard from or spoken to Glenn since the 8th grade after he dropped out of school. However, she was pleasantly surprised to learn that he had evolved from... you know, being a quirky junior high student, and he ended up joining the Marines after being employed at Homeland Security. So, you know, he was making a good life for himself. And Glenn told her that he traveled all across the country to serve the nation, protect U.S. citizens, and Catherine was just really impressed. I mean, you know, I feel like being a Marine is very impressive. Like, it takes a lot. Like, so she probably was just like, oh, nice. He really, like, made a life for himself. And he also informed her that he lived nearby and he shared the custody of his daughter from a previous marriage. So, being a single mother, Catherine and Glenn really connected immediately. And, you know, they had a lot of phone calls, long-lasting phone calls that would last for hours, sometimes even go throughout the night. And before long, they were just completely inseparable. And as Glenn kind of went over all of his tales, talking about the military medals and certificates that he had, and just tell everybody all these crazy stories about his experiences and situations, Catherine and her family were really amazed with him, and they equated his accomplishments with the man that they really thought him to be. So they thought he was obviously just this really great guy. Which it sounds like, you know, he would have been. Now, by August of 2007, Catherine became pregnant and moved in with an overjoyed Glenn, who he just proposed to her a month later. So they hadn't been together very long, because she wrote to him earlier in 2007, so then she was already pregnant and now engaged just, you know, months later at this point.
They move fast.
Yeah. And, you know, she described him as brave and doting, just someone who was super loving and gave her everything that she needed and really just cared for her. You know, he told her that he worked in an offshore Gulf rig where he posed as an electrician. But obviously, you know, he worked for, like, the government and stuff, as he says. So he was away from home for about 14 days at a time. However, one thing about Glenn really bothered her. It was his massive gun collection. She just kind of recalled how Glenn had guns of pretty much all shapes and sizes. Some were obviously allegedly for his work purposes, while others he said belonged to his grandpa. So, like, I get it, you know, she doesn't want a bunch of guns in their house. Like, if he had, like, this massive collection. But at the same time, you know, if he's in the Marines and he works for the government, like, it would make sense why he would have a lot of guns. And the thing that kind of bugged her more so was Catherine said that he was just really obsessed with guns. He would spend all of his free time cleaning them, polishing, and assembling them. She made him promise to keep the weapons locked in the gun cabinet to prevent any, you know, unwanted accidents inside their home, especially with them welcoming a kid within a few weeks. Because I guess he just had so many laying around that she was like, we can't even, like, keep track of all of these and things like that. So they ended up giving birth to their son in March of 2008, and Catherine's family talked about how he really was a responsible and caring father and, like, made it a point to spend all of his spare time with his newborn baby. So they ended up getting married on July 17th, 2008, and they learned that she was pregnant a month later with their second.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, so you were kidding when, you know, you were saying how they move fast.
So apparently she healed from the first one and they got right back up on that horse.
Yeah. Right? And, like, right back up on it. But their, like, happy time of, you know, like, that's super happy. They have a newborn baby. They get married. They're pregnant again. They're all in love. Everything's great. But that ended pretty quickly, because Catherine woke up one day in March of 2009 to her husband screaming in the bed beside her. She tried waking him up, but he was sound asleep. When he woke up, he reassured her, you know, it's nothing to worry about. He told her that he was just having flashbacks from his days in the Marines. So it was like giving him these nightmares type thing. And if the night terrors were not enough, his old injuries began to rise, and he had a prescription for pain and anxiety.
Sounds like a good combination.
Yeah, so Catherine discovered that he seemed to have grown an addiction to these. Apparently, he stole pain medication from her medicine cabinet and even called her mother trying to get more pills as well. And she grew worried that Glenn might have developed an addiction, but she decided to give him the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, he denied the allegations after she confronted him. So she was like, all right, you know, I'll believe you. But, like, obviously it was something she was worried about. So on July 22nd, 2009, Catherine, Glenn, and the children were returning home from a shopping trip when they noticed a dozen of local police officers and U.S. Marshals at their doorstep. And they talked with him before a few officers circled around him and ended up handcuffing him. When Catherine went to find out what happened, the two law enforcement officials asked her questions about her husband before asking her for consent to search their home. So the investigators went through their house and the police started to explain everything to her. Now, according to the episode, Glenn had gone to a pharmacy in a SWAT uniform and showed his fake badge, asking the pharmacist to hand over pain medication immediately. He claimed he was on duty and required the pills for training purposes. However, the pharmacist refused and called 911 as soon as Glenn left. And the authorities caught him when they checked the store's, surveillance footage. He was an offshore oil rig electrician and had never been associated with Homeland Security, the Marines, or any other federal agency. So that was just a whole big fat lie.
Who the bleep did she marry?
Right? So when he was confronted with all of these lies, he broke down. Because, I mean, at that point, like, you're caught, dude. The police are arresting you. Like, you're caught. You can't really, like, try and, like, keep lying your way out of it. So, yeah, he broke down and admitted that he had tried to enter the Marines but failed the physical test. And he wanted it so bad that he spun this entire web of lies around it to convince himself that he had succeeded and, like, we had this whole life, which is just, like, crazy. The police found, you know, a few different fraudulent items. You know, things like law enforcement identification cards, badges, and SWAT uniforms. They also recovered illegal explosives, including grenades and grenade components. A large amount of assault weapons, handguns, one illegal weapon silencer, and thousands of rounds of assorted ammunition. Which, like, that would be so scary for her to find out, I mean, in general, but then to know that, like, he actually has no association with any law enforcement at all, and he just has all of these things, like, that's so terrifying.
And on top of that, a new baby and another one on the way. And
yeah.
Like, you're like, oh my God, who did I just create this family with?
Literally. Like, it's one thing to, like, get married and then you're like, who the bleep did I marry? And they're like this crazy person. And it's like, okay, goodbye. We can, like, annul this situation. But then when you have kids with them, it's like, you kind of are, like, stuck in that situation, you know? You can't really just, like, peace out. So,
like, he's about to peace out.
I mean, he's gonna peace out for sure. But yeah, it's a tough convo to have with your kids when they grow up about who their dad is. So Glenn was arrested on charges of impersonating a federal officer and was released on bail 2 days later. He desperately tried to convince Catherine that he was innocent and told her everything. And she kind of talks about how she decided to trust him again, despite his lies, because she loved him for the father and the man that he was, which is just like, oh, that's like a really big lie, though. Like, that's kind of, I don't know, that's tough. But yeah, awaiting his trial and a prison term of 10 to 20 years if convicted, she convinced Glenn to join back work to clear his mind. However, he was definitely shocked when he learned the news that his phony career had worked or had reached his workplace. So, like, people at his work knew about this. I'm sure they, like, said shit to him, like, being on an oil rig. I'm sure the other guys there were, like, talking crap. So that would definitely be a tough way to go back.
I'm sorry, but that's the least of your problems.
Yeah, very least. And Catherine says, you know, Glenn used to break down over the phone, talking about, like, all the bullying and taunting from his coworkers. And her worst nightmare came true on July 30th, 2009, when Glenn's employer informed her that her husband had died by hanging himself in his room. So after his death, the charges against him were obviously dropped, and the officers stated that, you know, he told them he continued the charade so that his family would look up to him. Catherine continues to live in Louisiana and is now a homemaker looking forward to a happy future.
Well, at least they dropped the charges after he died.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I feel really horrible for her and the kids. Obviously, like, they're the biggest victims in this story, and it's sad that he killed himself, but it's like, what a crazy thing to spin and, like, go with. You know, there's little white lies here and there, like, stupid little lies. But to just have this full-blown made-up life where you have badges and ID cards and fake uniforms and things like that, it's like, that is bonkers.
Bonkers.
Big time bonkers.
And she threw out the heavy word.
Yeah. Yeah, when something's bonkers, you'll know.
You'll say bonkers.
You'll say bonkers. But yeah, those were my two Who the Bleep Did I Marry ones. And there's lots of crazy other ones. And I think this show has like freaking 11 seasons or something absurd like that.
Oh, okay. So you got your Saturdays filled for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll like watch them on like a regular basis, but whenever I'm feeling it, definitely a good show to put on. But yeah, there's a ton of seasons, which is really scary. It's like, why are there so many people with like horrifying marriage stories? Do I want to get married? Like, what?
I mean, we haven't even got to all the datelines, and
I know. You know, there's just too many horrible things that have happened, but yeah, I thought that, you know, could be a fun, interesting two stories to talk about today, just since I watched that, so it inspired me.
Well, thank you for sharing them. They're both very crazy, different directions, but
yeah.
Either way, both men are liar, pants on... Well, yeah, I guess Jerry was in a way a liar. He lied about the marriage license and the driver's license.
Yeah, he was, like, more indirectly a liar, but, like, for sure still a liar. And he was very manipulative because he basically, like, forced her to marry him.
Yeah. I just don't understand how you introduce people. Yes, this is my 13-year-old wife.
I know, like, and like the fact that there was no shame around it either. Like, he owned it.
Is she coming to the band rehearsal? No, she's got a Girl Scout meeting. She'll be around after.
Literally.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's just so bizarre.
So bizarre.
So bizarre, so bonkers. But yeah, that wraps up the Who the Bleep Did I Marry episode. Hopefully none of you have those stories. If you do, though, if you have a Who the Bleep Did I Marry story, please send it to us. I would love to read it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that would be definitely interesting to get your personal stories on that, but hopefully not. Hopefully none of you have experienced that.
Not yet. I'm pretty sure my husband says he is who he is. I don't know. Either way, he's gone every other week for a week. So, I mean, we're 13 years into it, so at this point, if you're lying, don't even freaking tell me.
Yeah.
You're still bringing home the paycheck, so whatever.
You're like, just don't let me know. Just keep it up, please. Yeah, sometimes it's like when there's like such a big lie, it's like, I just rather would not know at this point. It's just like, just don't even tell me.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, that concludes today's episode of our in-person recording sesh.
Which has been fun. It's nice to have her in person. We always have fun doing it, but I always feel like the vibe's a little bit more hyped up when we're together in person.
Yeah, definitely, because we're face-to-face. So we feed
literally
off.
Literally this time.
Literally face-to-face. I'm sitting on a giant beanbag. The vibes are good.
The beanbag is massive.
Massive and comfortable.
It took, like, a lot to get it even through this door. Not today, in general.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. It probably would. This beanbag, you guys, you can't see it, but it is very massive.
We have another one. It's in Charlotte's room. We're remodeling a part of our house, so that's why everything's kind of clunked together. So the other one's in Charlotte's room, and her bestie Boo sleeps on it.
Aw, nice. Yeah, this would be a very comfy bed. Definitely.
Well, on that note, I think maybe me and Kay are going to log off and maybe we'll go watch a Who the Bleep Did We Marry?
Yeah.
Or watch something on, you know, something scandalous.
Yes.
And finish out our girls' night. And then next week we'll fill you in. So until then,
stay creepy.
And we gots to go.
Bye.
Peace.
Peace.